Here we are. It's Alan, and I'm back here with you for the second part of Vox Pop for this morning. Usually I come on and then I say what I said in the beginning, but I'll say it again just so you'll know. We are going to do stories today about intelligent animals. Why? Because recently dolphins and all like that have been discovered to have a secret language. So how smart are animals? You know, you hear stories about the animal that scratched on the door and you go downstairs and there's a fire. Or you get somebody who looks up at you and you know something's wrong and they lead you to a place. So I need all your animal stories today. Well, apparently a lot of people have them because there are four phones ringing out of the five right now. Actually, three. So there are two more for you. Get online. We very much want to hear from you. I'll tell you the story of Murray if we have a moment, but not right now. Right now, we'll go to Kerry in Plainfield, Massachusetts. Okay, Kerry, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How you doing today?
Well, I'm good, Kerry. How are you doing?
Great. Hey, I have a seven-year-old gifted redbone coonhound. And not only is he smart, but he's also very talented.
Yep.
And I say smart because he enjoys listening to the WAMC programming from noon to 1 o'clock.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, the news, I don't know if he cares for the news, but he's talented because at the beginning of the show, there's a short tune that's played at the beginning and at the end of the show. I think it features a trumpet. Now, every day around noontime, we're both in my rowboat, and I live on a lake, and we do some laps around the lake. Well, as soon as that tune begins, he jumps up on a bow at a boat. He'll throw his head back, and he starts to deeply howl through the tune. And it's unbelievable. The people out in their boats or on the shore, they applaud him, and he gets quite a few compliments. Yeah. No other song is played that he does that to, just that little trumpet sound during that one-hour news segment.
Whoa. You know, my Uncle Arthur, long gone, had Skeezix the dog, and who I loved. And Skeezix would sing right along with him. He'd go, ooh, and the dog would go, ooh.
Yeah.
So,
you
know.
That's the way this guy is.
so that's really nice. You think this is a property of coonhounds, or do you think it's just something that this particular dog does?
Well, this is tag number 6.
Wow.
Okay, and tag number 1 through 5, they've all been coonhounds.
Wow.
And he's the only one that sings. I just sort of wish I had him years ago when Ed Sullivan was on.
Yeah, it just started. Yeah, who does stupid dog tricks? Isn't there one of those guys at night who does something called stupid dog tricks?
There might be, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, Kerry, thank you very much for the call.
I can't wait to hear from what Murray does.
Well, I'll tell you when I get a chance. Okay,
thanks
a lot. Yep, right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Julie in Pleasant Valley. Julie, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I am a teacher, and I had a student who recently rescued a cat, so right. I took the cat off of her hands, and I brought the cat home, and, you know, he's little tiny. I was worried how he would get along with my other animals, but he and my older cat became very close, so we've only had the kitty about a month. So yesterday, somehow the kitty got out of the house, the little baby guy. We looked everywhere. We couldn't find him. The older cat was pacing the house, meowing at the windows. He was very upset. We could tell he was agitated. So finally, we let the older cat out, and we're like, what can it hurt? We'll see what happens. We let the older cat out. We had looked everywhere all over our property, and lo and behold, about 2 hours later, we sort of heard a scratch at the door. We opened the door, and there's the older cat pushing the kitty into the house.
Whoa.
I was amazed. I didn't realize we had a hero. I mean, we were upset. We were all crying. I have 3 kids. And this older cat, he had to have found the kitty because we searched the whole property. And he was literally ushering the kitty cat into the house.
Wow.
I was amazed. And I just thought the older cat, I was just happy they got along. But the idea that he was so upset and then he rescued him just really makes me realize he's smart.
The older cat is a male or a female?
He's a male. He's about 2 years old, and he plays with the dogs, too. We sort of have the revolving door of rescued animals. And he plays with the dogs, he plays with everybody and gets along, but he's really taken this baby cat sort of under his paw.
Well, under his paw. Well, yes. Julie, thank you very much for the call. Very inspirational. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, right. Bye. Okay. Let's go to Nick in Monroe, New York. Okay, Nick.
Maxine.
Oh, Maxine, I'm so sorry. I got it all wrong.
That's all right. My story is about a cat that I had. She has since died. But I was reading a book on Reiki, and I had read the chapter, I think I was actually reading the chapter on animals, and the chapter said animals understand Reiki, and they know all about it.
Well, what is Reiki, Meg?
It's a hands-on, or it's like a healing touch modality.
Is it rough, or is it light?
No, in fact, you don't even need to touch the person.
Oh, interesting.
It basically works with the energy field of the person.
Right, of course.
You know, so anyway, I was reading this book because my teacher had recommended it, and while I'm reading it, I realized that Rumor, my cat, is sort of looking over my shoulder. She's sitting on the back of the couch where I was sitting, and she has her head over my shoulder as if she's reading the book, too.
Yeah.
And I sort of draw away from her, and I look at her, and I said, you know, according to this book, you know all about this. And she sort of drew back a little bit as if to say, just checking, just checking. And,
wow. You know,
and she never did it again, and she had never done that before, any book that I had read, and she never did it again. That's the only time she ever did it.
Well, that's amazing because, you know, Murray, my dog, it can read and write and speak.
And
you know, he can. And I like to think he went to the Southern Berkshire Literacy Network to learn. He's mentioned that. And he writes my columns for me every week.
So good for you.
So it's really quite amazing. So I believe you, Maxine. Believe me, I do.
Yeah, well, this is a true story. You know,
you think what I just said isn't true?
You know, if it's true to you, that I will say it's true.
Okay, and I say the same back to you, Maxine.
Okay.
I'm sure the cat was reading.
I will accept that. Yes, okay. I think she was reading.
Yeah, no question. Maxine, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
It's 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You got three free phones. Let's go to Nick in Hudson. Hey, Nick, did I ever tell you Hudson is one of my favorite places in the world? Terrific. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I was playing tennis in an indoor tennis club a few weeks ago, and this club closes for the summer, but they leave a key for us to get in, and it's an honor system, and you sign your name and blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
Because it was raining outside. So when I was leaving, there was a bird flying around the lobby, and it's a two-floor lobby, and at the top of the lobby, there's a glass window that doesn't open, and the bird kept flying into the window. And so this went on for about a half an hour. I was trying to chase him and yell and trying to get his attention to fly down low enough so he could go out the front door.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't do it. Finally, I went upstairs, swirled my towel to create some air currents. He dipped down low enough and flew outside.
Wow.
I was thrilled.
Well, what do you make of that?
I'm not done.
Because I'm so sorry.
I hung around about it. That's okay. I hung around about 10 minutes.
Mm.
And when I left to lock up the club and I went outside, I heard these birds making all this noise at the top of the building. And I looked up and I saw them and I recognized them. And each bird, oh, by the way, as he was hitting the glass window, there was another bird outside of the window hovering to give him something to shoot for. So these two birds, as I left 10 minutes later, came from the top of the building, and each one of them buzzed my head and then flew away.
Yeah, you know, I saw a piece in the Times, I think the other day, about hummingbirds which attacked a guy. Because the guy apparently was getting too close to the nest or something. He didn't even know it. But the hummingbirds, these tiny little things, started pecking at his head.
Well, I kind of took this as they hung around to say thanks.
Oh, I think that's probably right. I don't have any doubt about it.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Well, I want to thank you, Nick, for sharing that story with us.
You bet. Take care.
Call again, okay? Bye.
Yep. You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Joe in Warwick. Okay, Joe, you're on.
Maybe we could send Murray to the Senate of the United States, and he might be able to help them there.
Well, I think you're probably right. He's talked to me about it several times. He's talked to me about a run. He thinks there may be a constitutional problem, but I don't think there should be. And, you know, frankly, I don't think that dogs should not be allowed into, while I'm on the subject, into restaurants. You know, you go to France, You go to France, every dog is lying under the table. What they is this?
They have to be service dogs, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, speaking about dogs, I was at a party of a bunch of firemen, and at a very nice house, and the bulge-eyed dogs, the little ones, the chihuahuas, one of them was barking in the corner. This dog's name was Bougie, and Bougie was barking at something. I came over, and nobody else was paying attention to Bougie. One of those candles, a large decorative candle, had actually started to collapse, and a flow of fire was coming out of it.
Wow.
And the dog knew that something was wrong, and he was barking at the candle. So I put the candle out. The rest of the firemen didn't even pay attention to Bougie. I call him Bougie the fire dog because he really saved, I think, everybody from an inevitable fire there. But the whole thing had collapsed. The dog knew that something was wrong, and he was barking like crazy.
Well, congratulations to you, and congratulations to Bougie. You ought to, where do you live? You live in Warwick? You ought to call, the local paper and write it up.
Yeah, it's a good story.
It is a good story. Joe, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back. If your name is Joan or Kenny or whatever, stay right there. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more. CapcomFCU.org. Cafe Capriccio, featuring Chef Jim Rua's book, Cafe Capriccio Chef's Table, online and at the Bookhouse in Albany, CafeCapriccio.com. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Summer of Love, psychedelic posters from SCMA, art from 1960s San Francisco and the American counterculture. smith.edu/artmuseum. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of Lake George, hiking guides, events, and more, lglc.org. M. Proctor's, presenting the Cirque Elwaz, Circopolis, August 7th through 24th, proctors.org.
Thank you, Zachary, and thanks to all who are calling. We'll go to Joan in Greenwich, New York. Hi, Joan. You know Joe?
Hi, Alan.
You know Joe?
Do I know Joe?
Yeah, our Joe.
Oh,
Joe Donahue.
Yeah, I have met him, but I'm sure he would not remember me.
Okay. Go ahead, Joan.
I was calling about my two cats, one of whom sadly passed away recently.
Oh. Sorry to hear
I learned about Alex the parrot, who was trained by a woman named Irene Pepperberg to do all kinds of amazing things, including learning numbers and colors and, you know, all kinds of abstract concepts. And she taught him to read, to speak and understand what he was talking about. And she's written about this and been on the radio. And I thought, well, if a bird can learn this, my cats can learn this, except they won't be able to speak English. And I proceeded to very slowly teach them things. And my male cat has his own YouTube video. It's just Sullivan the Cat. All lowercase and one word.
What did it say it again?
Sullivan, that's his name, Sullivan the Cat.
The Cat,
on
okay,
YouTube.
Gotcha. Yep.
And that was done about 4 years ago. And they've also, mostly Sullivan because Sarah was very shy. Fox 23 did a story on them, Look TV did a story on them, and they were in Cat Fancy in December 2011. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, I didn't approach this in a scientific way the way Irene Pepperberg did.
Yeah.
This was a research project for her. So, you know, I haven't proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that my cats are doing this or were doing this, but
right.
It sure seemed like they were, and my husband and I even tried things like one of us would ask them a question while the other one went out of the room where they couldn't hear, and the other one would come and present them with the answers
wow.
to choose from, and Sullivan in particular scored well over 50% on even those ones.
Well, and, hey, Joan, are they right-wing cats? Or are they right-wing cats?
No.
Oh, you said they were on Fox 20. You said they were on Fox, so I just wondered if they were right-wing cats.
No, I was a little. I didn't set that up, actually.
Did you talk to them about their? Have you ever talked to them about their politics?
No, I didn't, because that was not the focus of the story. And actually, I do have to say The reporter and the cameraman who came were extremely professional, and, and I was surprised. They were very, very professional and very sweet.
Well,
so we left politics out of it because it had nothing to do with it.
Well, Joan, I thank you for telling us this amazing, amazing cat story. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, and if anybody, the video is still up there if anybody's interested.
Oh, say it one more time. One more time. Go ahead. Sullivan the Cat.
Sullivan the Cat, all lowercase, one word, and to avoid getting some creepy things, it's best to put it in quotes. There are six little clips, very short for the YouTube generation, all done on the same day.
Sullivan the Cat. Okay, thank you very much, Joan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. That leaves one free phone for you. And let's go to Kenny in Scodak, New York. Kenny, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, Doc. I have another cat story for you, but I'll start by saying I've had eight dogs, and I can't tell you anything incredible about any of them. Most of them were very dumb. But I have a cat. It's not really mine. It's my daughter's. The cat only bonded with my daughter. Mm-hmm. We've had it for 6 years when my daughter was 12. Now my daughter's away to college. And when she comes home, the cat knows that she's coming and begins to cry.
No.
10, 15 minutes in advance.
Tell us what the crying sounds like.
It's heart-wrenching, actually, to hear it. It's very sad.
Well, come on, give us a little sample.
Oh, like car talk. Yeah, like try to explain the sound that the thing is
making.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think I could. I don't think it's in my range.
Is it sort of like, something like that, or what? Or higher? Higher?
It's more like, a little higher. But the thing is, a caterwaul.
A caterwaul, yeah.
So you would think that it would, maybe she had a predictable pattern.
So
but
she's
she went overseas. She was gone for 3 weeks overseas. She comes home. The cat who isolates itself comes downstairs and waits at the door, cries, waits at a window, cries, and then you get ready. My daughter will be home in 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, do you think you're giving it away, Kenny? Is that a possibility that the cat is able to read your mind with your expectation that your daughter is coming home?
If I knew that she was coming home, but I can't keep her schedule straight.
Right.
So I'm with you there. I'm no anthropomorphist.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand it, but I think that they have a sense that we don't.
Well, certainly I don't know. But, Kenny, that's an amazing story, and I thank you for calling and telling us about it.
All right, Doc. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Itota of Albany, New York. Okay, Itota.
It's over.
Itota, yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
All right. Yes, good afternoon. And I have a little story about my chocolate Labrador, Hershey.
Okay. Hershey.
She rests in peace now.
Yeah, we had one too, and she's in peace also. Yeah.
Sorry?
We had a chocolate lab also who was in peace. Glendy. Glendy La Dog. She's in peace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, this is something that took place when Hershey was about 1 or 2 years old.
Yep.
And she lived a full, 14, 15 years.
That's a good length.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what happened? I think maybe she was in the house for too many hours that day. I was at school. My mother was at work. So she decides to go in my mother's closet, and my mother had a basket of her shoes that she would wear.
Right.
So Hershey pulls all the shoes out of the basket, and somehow it's like she knew my mother's favorite pair of shoes.
Right.
It was like a 4-inch heel, like basket woven. So it was like a very nice, exclusive pair.
Yeah. Now, be careful as you tell the rest of the story because, we got FCC problems here. Somebody says something that's not quite right. So go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I missed that part.
No, I was just simply saying to you, you have to be careful about words you use on the radio or we could get into trouble. That's all. Because
okay.
I take it the dog. Okay, so here's where we are in the story. The dog takes all of the shoes out of the basket, but then left in the house for too long, if I'm following you. So now the dog is taking the dog. Now what happens?
Yes, she pulls them all out to pick out which shoe is, I guess she knew which one was her favorite.
Yes, yes.
So she chews it up and destroys it. And just one, not even the other one. She knew that chewing up one would mess up the pair. But anyhow, you know, she got in trouble that day.
Yeah, but why did she do it? Do you know why she did it?
I was a work day. Went to school. Went to school. She went to work. By the time I came home from school,
was she angry? Do you think that you guys had left her alone? I mean, you think that's what it was?
Probably. And she was young as well, so she did chew up just about everything. She chewed up the couch. Chewed up my favorite shirt.
Okay, so what's so amazing about the dog?
This is the thing. Years after, even after a decade has passed.
Yes, yes.
If we would have company over, you know, the dog was always there sitting in everyone's lap and playing with everyone.
Yeah.
If we would just bring, me and my mother would just bring up the story or just discuss it. I was like, oh, do you remember that pair of shoes?
Yeah.
She chewed up. She would tuck her tail in between her legs and she would go and, like, get behind the couch.
Oh, boy.
And now it's just like she knew.
Oh, boy.
I mean, she could just understand exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Just in simple, plain English.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for the call. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Thanks again. Yep.
All right.
Let's go to Nikki in Saratoga, New York. Okay. Oh, boy. This is going to be a good story. Go ahead, Nikki.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, pretty good.
Okay. I have a Belgian sheepdog by the name of Flash, and about 4 years ago, I was going through menopause, and I wasn't feeling very good, and I went to the doctor. Drove home. I almost passed out. Had no idea why. When I got home, I was going to lay down, take a nap. Flash started biting me. Flash never bites.
Ooh.
About, I got actually angry at him, and I told him I'm going to brush you because he really, really hates to be brushed. 10 minutes later, I got a call. They told me to go to the hospital. I have to be infused. I lost more than half my blood. If I had gone to sleep, Alan, I would have never woke up.
So the dog knew you were going to fall asleep and bit you to keep you on your toes.
Yes, and about a year ago, he got diagnosed with cancer, and they told me he was going to die 8 months ago, and I've been able to repay the favor just with herbal medicine. I have shrunk his tumor down to 10% from 100%.
Wow. What does the vet say about that?
They cannot explain it, but they told me they're only into Chinese herbs, and I am into American herbs, so yeah. I don't know why they don't check it out, but I'm glad he is here, and I'm still here.
Well, Nikki, that is an inspirational story, and thank you so much for sharing it with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Alan. Have a nice day.
You too, bye. Nikki. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Ellen in Poughkeepsie. Ellen in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Yeah, I have an interesting story, actually, about two smart animals, a hamster and our dog.
Right.
We had gone to stay with my parents, as we always did, for a week at Christmas, and my son brought his hamster along, which escaped from his cage one night, as he liked to do. And my son's bedroom was up on the second floor. The hamster came down a long flight of stairs into the dining room, found a box where my mother had some glassware stored from her mother, found the one that had some nice little fruit, glasses that you would put a fruit cup in, chewed into the box and made a nest in one of those little glasses. It was the perfect size for a hamster nest. Now, this house had plenty of boxes in plenty of places, but how he found that, I don't know. So we were looking all over the house for the hamster. Of course, couldn't find him. And my Brittany, I noticed, was sitting in the dining room just staring at the corner where the box was.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, in our house, also found the hamster on one or two occasions and alerted without eating him. So I unpiled the boxes, opened up the bottom one, and found the little guy sitting, you know, curled up in the fruit glass.
Do hamsters bite?
Not usually. I mean, they can, but he had been handled enough so that he didn't bite. But he had bitten on occasion.
But look, Murray will, you know, we got chipmunks at the house. Murray will go right to where they are and just sit there and sniff at them. So isn't that something that's sort of innate about dogs, that they can smell other animals?
It was. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, and she, you know, Brittany's are a hunting breed, so they're good at it. But she just sat there and looked at the corner, and of course we had to pay attention. But so I'm not sure who was smarter, the hamster who found the perfect nest in that great big house, or the dog who was doing what she knew how to do, which was find little creatures.
Well, it's a good story. What's the dog's name?
Krista.
Well,
she's no longer with us.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you for calling, Ellen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Enjoying your show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Lee in Ulster, New York. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Ellen, this is an homage to my dog, Penny.
Homage.
When I was a kid, by the time I was in second, third grade, she was like 3-4 years old then.
Yeah.
We walked to school.
Yep.
Every day, that dog got off the porch, walked a half a mile, and was sitting on the sidewalk outside my elementary school when the doors opened.
By the way, that's what Lassie did in the film Lassie Come Home.
I swear to God, every day of my grade school career, that dog was there.
They may owe you money. Go ahead.
The summer that my youngest sister was a toddler, we grew up on the south shore of the island, down by the water.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's
what town?
In the wrong direction. Huh?
What town?
Bellport.
It's very important to the story, but go ahead. Yeah.
Everybody's looking in the wrong direction. Patty toddles into the surf. I mean, it's lapping water, but it's water. She's a baby. The dog is already on top of her, gets her by the back of the shirt, drags her up on the beach, and is standing over her. Patty is screaming, won't let anybody touch her until my mother shows up. Pulled her out of the water.
Well, now, wait a second. Your sister's name was Patty?
My sister's name was Patty.
Okay, and what's the dog's name?
Penny.
Penny and Patty. And why was Patty screaming? Because the dog had pulled her out of the ocean, or because
She fell face down in the surf. You know, the dog got her by the back of her shirt. Right. You know, dragged her out of the water. She's got sand up her nose. You know what I mean?
That's quite a story. That's really a good story.
Well, Penny got in the paper, got a picture in the paper. The fire department gave her a little medal around her neck. I still have that picture.
I may, in fact, award this the best story so far.
Oh, thank you, Ellen.
Thanks very much, Lee. Appreciate
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Let's go to Doreen in Stone Ridge. Hi, Doreen in Stone Ridge.
Hi, Ellen. I have a dolphin tail.
Okay.
When my dad had been...
Wait a second. How are you spelling it?
Dolphin?
No, tail.
Tail. I'm spelling it T-A-L-E.
Okay, I got it now. Because, you know, dolphins often have they have tails. Okay, go ahead.
They do.
Yeah.
But this is a dolphin, T-A-L-E.
Okay, gotcha.
And my dad had been in the service in Okinawa during World War II.
Yep.
And, of course, it was a very bloody place.
Yep.
But he would tell us stories. We were very fortunate. He told us stories about some of the good, bad, ugly things that went on. And, for example, he told us about the Wind Talkers, how important the Navajo Indians had been to them. But he also told us that the dolphins had saved a lot of the sailors, that when the ships went down, the dolphins would keep them afloat and roll them onto the shore. So,
how do they do it? You mean they'd grab them like the last story by the back of their neck? Or, I mean, how would they do that?
I don't know, but it sounded like, I mean, he said that they would roll them onto the shore. So
which
I
is
guess
really interesting. You know, if you think about it, that's really interesting because the Navy, you know, experimented with dolphins. They did communication.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So I know that it was very real to the people who were on the islands and witnessed it.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know how to interpret it, but I know it was very purposeful to the people who watched it happen.
I'll bet it was. Doreen, thank you so much for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Maureen. From Doreen to Maureen in Glens Falls, New York. Bet you're going to tell us a story about a horse, right?
How perceptive of you, Ellen. Yes, I am going to tell you a story, and I'll try to make it as quickly as possible.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But a number of years ago when we had those terrible ice storms up north, and everything was covered with about 3 inches of ice, And this particular day, we had a snowstorm on top of the ice.
Yep.
And I was coming home late at night. I had my granddaughter with me, who was about 7 months old, and it was storming terribly. And she was in the back seat, in the car seat, nice and warm. And I drove down to the barn to feed my horses and put them in the barn. And
is this also in Glens Falls?
This is in Fort Ann.
Oh, Fort Ann. Okay, go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So usually when the horses see the car lights coming down the driveway, they come right to the barn. But today it was so stormy. The wind was blowing so hard, and it was such a terrible blizzard that you really couldn't see very far at all. So I thought they probably couldn't see the car lights.
Right.
So I opened the barn door, and I went out the back, and I was calling them as loudly as I could. And, you know, they didn't come, and they didn't come. And I was worried because it was dinner time. Well, we do have a place that is over on our property, which is an old barn foundation.
Yeah.
And the horses sometimes used to go in there when the weather was bad to get out of the wind. So
yep.
I thought, well, they're probably there. So I ventured out. Now, my car is running with the baby in the back. And I ventured out into the pasture.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, all that ice and at least a foot of snow on top. And calling and calling and no horses in sight. And I, because it was so windy, I got disoriented and couldn't tell really where I was. And I slipped and I fell down into a drainage ditch.
Uh-oh.
So I am down the ditch, and I cannot get out for the life of me because it's steep and it's so much ice and then this fluffy snow on top.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to be here. I'm going to freeze to death. My husband is going to come home in a couple of days, and he's going to find the car, you know, with a dead baby and a dead wife out in the field.
It's scary.
So I just... You know, I was beside myself because I thought how stupid I was to go out there. And I cried and cried and cried. And all of a sudden, I felt something warm on the back of my neck. And I here it is, my one horse, who's a white horse, incidentally. And he had come over. Apparently, he heard me and came over, and he put his nose down to let me know that he was there. And I was shaking so hard, I could hardly do anything. But he kind of braced himself and put his head down as far as he could. And I grabbed a hold of his mane. And he just, you know, edged back and back and back and back. And dragged me out of the drainage ditch.
Wow.
And then as I was trying to get onto my feet, the other horse came up on the other side of me, and he just stood there, and I grabbed his mane. So the two horses had me, one on either side, and they backed up, and they walked around the outside of the drainage ditch to go towards the barn, and they walked me right to the barn real carefully because it was so slippery, and mostly were dragging me because I was so...
Maureen Dare, we are almost out of time here.
Okay.
But
anyway,
so they got you out, and...
got me to the barn, and I thought, well, they're hungry, and then I stepped into the barn, and the two of them turned around, and they went away and went back over into their shelter.
No, that is really something. That's
yeah,
really something.
It really is, because they weren't interested in the eating.
No, but they saved you. They saved your life.
Yes, they did. Yeah. So that's a great story.
And how many years ago was that?
This was, well, my granddaughter's now 15, and she was about 7 months old. So, you
and
know,
you still tear up when you tell the story.
Oh, yeah.
I would, too. Hey, Maureen, great story. Thank you for telling it. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Alan. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Chesterwood, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the summer home and studio of Daniel Chester French, sculptor of Abraham Lincoln for the Lincoln Memorial. Chesterwood.org. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, and resume and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com. New York State Canal Corporation, featuring the Oswego Harbor Fest, a four-day festival along the shores of Lake Ontario and the Oswego Canal. This Thursday through Sunday, cruise the past, unlock the adventure. Canals.ny.gov. And Healthy Living Market and Cafe, an independently owned natural food market providing natural and organic foods, now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., healthylivingmarket.com.
And we are back, and here with us is DACA, not doctor, but DACA Tonjo. DACA?
DACA. Thank you. Well, Alice on Facebook wants to tell you about she has a Cocker Spaniel that howls at the trumpet flare on Midday Magazine every day.
That's the second one, by the way.
For her first 2 years of life, that was the only tune she, quote, sang with. Now she's starting on the Vox Pop tune.
That's amazing. That is the second one today who responded to the trumpet.
It's a popular one with the dogs.
Yeah, well, thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate you drop by some other time, okay? Okay, let's go to, Nancy in Kingston. Okay, Nancy, you're on. Nancy?
Hello, I have an African gray parrot story.
Oh, boy.
So I belong to this African gray parrot named Mary, and anybody who's had an African gray parrot knows they're incredibly smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago, back in 2006, I lost a dog named Loki that I'd had for many years, that Mary and I had had for many years. Years and years go by. This holiday season, a friend brought her dog over to the house. It was a large, black, shaggy dog looking a little bit like Loki. 6 years has gone by. The parrot looks at this dog and says, "Is that Loki? Is that Loki?"
No, no, come on. Come on.
Seriously.
Really? Amazing.
Seriously, yeah.
Is that Loki? In other words, a full sentence with a question mark at the end of it. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, parrots, anybody who's had an African gray knows that they do that. They shock you periodically.
That's terrific. And what did Loki say, or the new dog say? Yes,
the dog wasn't terribly interested in what the parrot was saying. I think the dog was interested in what people were spilling on my floor.
Amazing. Amazing. Nancy, thank you for the wonderful story about the gray parrot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Sean in Fonda, New York. Okay, Sean in Fonda, you're on. Oh, Sharon. It must be Sharon. I'm so sorry. My fault. My bad.
That's okay. Hi, I've got a story about a husky that I had gotten as a graduation present from high school in 1970.
Right.
It was part sled dog and part racing husky with a quarter wolf.
Whoa.
Well, yes, part wolf. So 8 years later, I'm living on Western Avenue by SUNY Albany.
Yep.
And I marry a gentleman who has a Great Dane. And we go away on our honeymoon, and we have a friend dog sitting. And as soon as we leave, he opens the door. The dogs run away. This is in February.
Right.
So my mother-in-law called, and I don't know the woman's name, but there used to be a woman on a morning show on TV, and she had a little dog.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. She was a stout woman with a dog. Is that the one?
Yes, that's the one. So she called this woman and asked her to announce that there were these two dogs traveling together, a white husky and a brown Great Dane, in February.
Right.
Well, calls start coming in from Firrabush, which is where I had lived a year before I had married my husband. They were seeing these two dogs. A couple days later, calls start coming in from Gilderland Center, where I had lived a year before that.
Whoa.
Well, calls started coming in about a couple days. This took about a week for all these calls. Calls started coming in from somewhere near SUNY Albany again. They caught the Great Dane, who was emaciated, diarrhea. The poor thing was on its last leg. A woman caught my husky. She looked as good as ever. She'd been probably eating squirrels and rabbits and everything. But somehow she remembered to make that circle to these places we had lived years apart.
Amazing.
And my favorite book when I was a child was The Incredible Journey.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Sergeant King. Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston, yeah.
Sergeant Preston, and what was the name of Sergeant Preston's dog?
I don't remember.
I just told you, the great dog King. And at the end of every Sergeant Preston episode, sergeant would say, "Down, King, our job is done here."
I think you're a little older than I am.
I'm certainly that. Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate it. Great story. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to J.D. in Springfield, Massachusetts. J.D., you're on.
Hi. You want to hear the cat changing personality after she saved the world, or about the bees that I helped find their way out of my garage?
Well, take your choice, but only one. Go ahead, J.D.
Well, okay. Well, I like the cat story.
Okay, go ahead.
Kitten was always very shy and wouldn't come into a room unless invited, if people were already there. Well, one time she spotted smoke coming up, and of course nobody knew about it. It was out of a chair. A spark had flown from the fireplace and landed in the center of a chair with arms on each side, so nobody could have seen where the spark landed. But she put herself out in front of one of my children who was doing homework and just kind of fixed the gaze and didn't move. So finally the kid followed the line of the cat's direction, vision, and up is coming this little thin curl of smoke from the chair cushion.
Wow.
And so they hollered, and we took the cushion and put it in the kitchen sink and all that. And then after that, this kitten would go anywhere. Thank you. I've saved the world, and I deserve it, and everyone better recognize that I'm wonderful.
And you know the how, J.D.?
What?
How do you know that the kitten, I mean, I'm not following. How did the kitten tell everybody that I saved the world?
She just leaned herself up on the chair because the kid was using a board across the arms of the chair to do his homework.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just kind of sat on the end of it and looked straight across, you know, like not looking at the homework, not looking at the kid, but looking.
No. I got that part. But you said then subsequently.
Subsequently, we took the cushion out of the chair and took it and ran the hose in it in the sink. But it was definitely burning. It was a slow scorch burn. Hey,
JD, thank you for that. One last question. You're not a smoker, are you?
No, I am.
And you were not at the time, right?
Well, I don't know. It was an opportunity that I just, I guess, missed.
No. I just wanted to make sure that the spark came from the fireplace.
Oh, yes, it had to have because there was nobody smoked in our house.
Thank you, J.D. Appreciate it.
Landed in the center of the chair.
Call again. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Mark in Pottown in Poughkeepsie. 1-800-348-2551. Mark, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Shartok. How are you?
Hey.
I just wanted to share a story about my golden retriever. Her name is Duchess.
Yep.
And she's been a therapy dog for quite a number of years now. And she's worked with children with autism. And a couple years into her work, she began having some medical problems. And long story short, she needed to actually have both of her eyes removed.
Oh, boy.
So she went from being, you know, a perfectly normal sighted dog to suddenly having this issue. And, of course, my main concern, once I knew she would be okay otherwise, was that she wouldn't be able to continue her work. And I think it would have been disappointing for her as well as for the children that she used to visit. And much to my pleasant surprise, when I brought her home from the hospital, about a week later, she was fetching a tennis ball in the backyard. And about 2.5 weeks later, she went right back to work and has continued to work to this day. In fact, now she's even kind of an advocate and for animal-assisted therapy and for autism awareness. And we even go around and give talks to autism conferences and whatnot now. So I just wanted to share that.
I'm glad you did, Mark. It's a great story, and I thank you for it. Really, thank you very much. Yeah, bye.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Let's go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce in Kingston, you're on.
Yeah, this is about a jet black German Shepherd named Zorba, very wolf-like. And he caught, this was about 8 or 10 years ago, he caught a rabbit, and it was coming dusk. He brought it back to my deck, put a paw on it, and started stripping. And I figured, you know, he's going back 10,000 years, he knows what to do. The next morning, I went out to pick up the remains. All that was left were the toenails of the rabbit. Now, I've replaced him because he went to Canine Celestial Country in December. I have another jet black German Shepherd, a puppy, very large. About a month ago, he was watching TV with me, months old, and the characters on the program started to yell, and their body language is getting ready to fight, and he started barking furiously at the set. He was really totally watching what was going on. I've never seen that happen before, because he can't smell them, and they get so much.
Well, Bruce, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Deb in Albany, New York. Deb?
Hi. When I lived in Oswego and I went to college there, I lived in a house by the lake, and my roommate had a golden retriever named Bojangles, and she kind of left it home alone a lot, so I would buy it food and take her riding, running along when I rode my bike in the country. And one day I was hanging up my laundry outside, and she was walking around. She went to the mailbox, and there were flowers, chrysanthemums, and she picked one, and all of a sudden I see her coming down towards me, and she drops the flower by my foot. You know, it was just amazing.
It is amazing.
That's my story.
Dogs, dogs are very sensitive, you know. They really are. Thank you.
Yes, she was great.
Thank you. Thanks,
Take care, Alan.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Deb in Albany. Deb in Albany, you're on. Whoops. Well, Deb in Albany is not on. Okay, Tim in Boston Spa. Okay, Tim, you're on.
Yes, years ago, I started my auto repair business down in a big red barn in Selkirk.
Yep.
And I didn't like getting up early in the morning, but the UPS driver liked arriving very early. So I made arrangements for him to leave packages off at the grocery store up the street.
Yep.
He was a small butcher. And he had a German Shepherd in the back, a doghouse with a chain. And whenever I would arrive, that dog would be clawing at the end of his chain, barking with malice in her heart.
Oh, boy.
But one night, I was there, and he was closing up. He left the dog into the house, into the store. Dog did a quick perimeter check, came up to me, planted his paws on my shoulders, and looked in my face, and Jim said, "It's okay, sport." Well, after that, I would drive around behind his store. I could be driving a customer's car. I could drive my own car. I could drive a motorcycle. It didn't matter what. That dog was wagging his tail and waiting for me to come over.
That's a well-trained. That's a well-trained dog, Tim.
How did he know it was me?
Oh, they know. They know. They know. Hey, Tim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Right.
Okay, on to Hudson. Okay, Hudson, go ahead. Is it Hudson? Hello?
Lisa Edson.
Oh, Lisa. Okay,
yep.
Lisa, go ahead.
Yep, I'm from Cummington. I used to have a chocolate lab named Max.
Yep.
And you know how dogs lick your face by kissing?
Yep.
Well, he taught himself to kiss the way people do. I think by watching company leave, one day he was leaning against the door. It wouldn't let the company leave. He had his lips pursed, his eyes closed, and his nose pointed in the air. So I said, oh, no, he wants a kiss. And I never taught him that.
No.
And so the company gave him a kiss, and he was happy. He walked away. I thought that was cute.
That is cute, and I'm glad you're calling. You're the last call. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. Okay, that's all the time we have for today's Vox Pop. Thanks to all the callers. Sorry if you didn't make it through. Thanks to Zachary Malloy at the controls and Hannah Hohenstein Flack for answering the phone. Support comes from Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handicraft, glass and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and DonMullerGallery.com and Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, featuring Miele Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, Vapor, cleaning, sales, service, repairs, Lex, L-E-X-I, Vac.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. Preserve NY. NYS.org. Again, preserve NYS.org and Washington County Tourism, presenting alfresco, locally sourced dinner and brunch on the lawn of the Salem Courthouse this Saturday and Sunday. WashingtonNYCounty.com. That's WashingtonNYCounty.com. I'm Alan Chartok, and tomorrow it's the Gardening Show with our wonderful Ray Graff, Fred Breglia, and the always incomparable Greg Ward. Thanks for being here. there today, everybody. Now, I'll tell you the story of Murray. Murray went down to the street with Roselle. They went down to across Broadway in New York City. She was there with a friend. They went across the street to the market. So Roselle went to buy some food, but Murray was very disconcerted because his mom had left him. So he pulled on the leash, and he turned around. He got out of the leash. Our friend was left just holding a leash in his hand, went up to the corner, crossed all of Broadway with traffic coming both ways, ran up to the apartment house, ran into the apartment house, made a left turn, and stood at attention in front of the sat at attention in front of the door. The doorman, Nelson, let him in, and he knew to do that all on his own. That's the story of Murray. See you the next time.